Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. We're the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form what Paul calls one new man, one new species of being, one new humanity, which will make, according to the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, the full dwelling place of God by his Spirit. He has been waiting for the Jews and the Gentiles to be this one new man. As if a Gentile believer in Jesus is insufficient by himself, and a Jewish believer in Jesus is insufficient in himself. But when the two come together, devil, watch out. I just got exposed to a teaching, and I can't wait for you to understand this, because as you know, for the past 40 years, I've been investigating healing and miracles and the supernatural. And yeah, we see the healing promised in Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2:24. We recognize that, but there seems to be a disconnect between the truth of what Jesus did and manifesting that truth in many of our lives. And when I find keys that help us manifest what we are given by the death and resurrection of Jesus, I get excited. And this is one of those very, very special keys. I have Larry Hutton on the telephone. And Larry, in 1976, you were pretty messed up physically. Tell me about that.
Well, 36 years ago in 1976, I got healed of what the doctors called an incurable disease. They said it wasn't terminal, that I could live with it and have medication that could alleviate some of the symptoms. But they did test on me. I thought, as I was a kid, that it was just severe allergy, sinus, hay fever. And then the doctors ran tests, and they said, well, you have a deficiency in your body. You're allergic to over 120 different things. And so we can put you on medication the rest of your life. And of course, I like to play sports, so the medication would alleviate some symptoms so I could play. But even with the medication, I would have attacks that would cause me to get totally congested, where I could hardly breathe, and sneezing, and eyes swollen, and just all this junk going on in your body. And I mean, even with the medication, there'd be a major attack where I couldn't go to school or I couldn't go play ball, things like that. But I finally went to a church that believed that Jesus is the same today as when he physically walked the earth. He went about doing good and healing all the world pressed of the devil then, and he still does the same thing today.
Well, now, before you went to that church, what would you have summarized your belief system as in reference to healing?
Well, I was taught in the church I was raised in, which is a denominational church I was raised in, and I was taught that God, that first of all, I was taught healing and miracles have been done away with.
And you know, being Jewish and being saved at age 30, I often wonder, I don't see how anyone can read the Bible, Old or New Testament, and come up with that conclusion.
I'm telling you,
I don't get it.
It's a doctrine of devils is what it is. I'm telling you, it's just, it deceives people. And I believed healing and miracles had been done away with, that all ceased when the last apostle died. Well, if you believe it's been done away with, you're sure not going to receive it.
Right? Okay, but you go to this church, and now I would think that you would think maybe it's the devil speaking through these people. They're talking about healing, that Jesus doesn't change.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, when I got over there to the church that was having miracles happen, and they taught me about Jesus the healer, and I ended up getting healed in my body, then it made me think, well, wait a minute, maybe some of this other stuff I've been taught is not true as well. Maybe God's redeemed me in more than just one area spiritually. Maybe he's redeemed me physically and financially and mentally, and I mean, in every way he's redeemed me. So,
Well, in 1976, you're just a 22-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And tell me the worst situation physically you were in because of these, what, 120 allergies?
Yeah, just being laid up in bed for a couple days at a time, not hardly being able to breathe because you're so congested and so filled with junk and not being able to hardly see because your eyes just water in so much. And it was just...
Okay, so you find out that God hasn't changed, and God's word is true,
yeah.
And Jesus is the healer. You find this out. Once you found that out, what was the process of the manifestation?
Well, I remember going to church and hearing the pastor preach Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. I remember him expounding on that. Jesus bore your sicknesses as your substitute. He didn't bear them with you. He bore them for you, so you didn't have to. And I remember hearing that and thought, man, that's good news. You know, it was hard to believe for me because I'd never heard it. But I remember after several months of hearing verses like that and just scriptures that he is the God that heals us. He's not the God that makes us sick. He's the God that heals us. And so I remember going home from church one afternoon, walking into my living room, my house. I was working for Delta Airlines during those years and lived out in Zephyr Hills, Florida. I had a little small ranch out there raising horses. And I remember making the decision when I walked in my home. I thought, you know what? I know I'm going back to church tonight, and I know my pastor lays hands on people and people are getting healed, but I don't want to wait. I want to get healed right now. And I remember walking into my living room and lifting up my hands to heaven, and I just started talking to the Lord just like you talk to a person. You know, one thing I did learn about this church that believed in healing and miracles, they also believed that you didn't have to sound religious when you talk to God. You know, you didn't have to use the these and the thous and get real spiritual, so to speak. You know, just talk to him normal. He created you. He knows what you sound like, right? So I walked, I just lifted up my voice, and I said, God, I found out that you put my sickness and disease on Jesus, and that you laid all of my sickness on him at the cross, at Calvary, and that I don't have to have it. So, Jesus, I received you as my Savior when I was 13 years old. I'm 22 right now, and I'm receiving you as my healer right now. Now, of course, you and I know, Sid, he's not two different Jesuses, but I just found out there was another work of his grace, that he provided healing just as much as he provided being saved from sin, and that because I was saved from sin, that I could be healed in my body, that all that grace and salvation had come as a total and complete package. And so right there in my living room, I just received by faith, because, you know, that's how we receive the grace of God, is by faith, the Bible says. So I just lifted up, and I believe that Jesus healed me nearly 2,000 years ago, and I believe I'm healed right now. Now, Sid, I did not feel any different, but I knew that something changed. It wasn't just looking for a feeling, kind of like when I was 13 and received Jesus as Savior. My particular experience wasn't like some people that get goose pimples and bumps, and they just feel all this weight lift off of them. I never felt any supernatural feeling from the outside when I received Jesus, and yet on the inside, I knew that I knew that I knew that I was a child of God.
Now, you know something, Larry? There's something that's coming to me. Is I understand what you're saying,
yeah.
And many times I pray for the sick, and I can feel the healing anointing flow right out of me like a river, and not them. I know that they're healed.
Right.
I know they are.
Yes.
But sometimes they are, and sometimes they're not. I mean, the most frustrating thing is when I can sense the healing anointing going into someone, and the manifestation doesn't occur.
Right.
But I believe you have a key. And it is, as far as I'm concerned, the most major key I've ever seen. It was in 1977, God started speaking to you about these keys. Tell me about that.
Yeah, after I was healed in my body in 76, I was just really seeking the Lord, turned on to him. My pastor started working with me since that I had a call of God on my life to teach the seeking the Lord, and all of a sudden, one day in my bedroom, the Lord talked to me. I felt like he came into my bedroom. I did not see him, but I felt his presence so strong. It's just like, I don't think I could have gotten up if I tried. I didn't try, but I feel like it.
You know, even as you're sharing it right now, I feel an increase of his presence. I can sense it, but go ahead.
Yes, and when he came in the room, he started talking to me. He said, Larry, I'm going to show you in my word what to do, and if you do what I tell you, you will never have another down day the rest of your life.
Please repeat that, because some people's brain went on tilt when you said that.
Yeah.
Say that again, what he told you.
He said, Larry, I'm going to teach you in my word what to do, and if you do what I tell you, you will not have another down day the rest of your life. Now, he explained to me, he went on to explain what he meant when he said just down days. He was talking about all the negative emotions. He said bad temper and anger that controls people, that emotion, and depression that controls people, and stress and worry and discouragement. He started naming all these different negative emotions that control people's lives. And he said you're going to have plenty of opportunity from now until you die to have all kinds of those emotions control you, but I'm going to show you how to live free from them.
Now, when people get a hold of this teaching, what are some of the reports that you get, just briefly, of their lives being changed?
Well, I could give you a lot. This one lady came to one of my meetings and got a hold of my book that teaches what the Lord showed me. And she read the book, and it's basically teaching you emotional stability in an unstable world. You know, the world's very unstable. We'll bring all kinds of stress and worry and depression, discouragement. She read the book, and what I didn't know until she came up and gave us her testimony is she had been bipolar for over 40 years. She had been on medicine. The doctors told her hormones were way off and her chemicals, imbalance in the body, and so you're just going to have to be on medicine all your life.
Well, bottom line, what happened?
She was completely healed and delivered, and she's been off all her medication for years now.
You know what is so amazing to me is the people with just things like high blood pressure that once, could you picture living 24/7 the rest of your life not worrying? Not having fear, not having anger, bad uncontrolled anger or strife with people or stress. Wow! I can't wait till they get your book and your 4-CD series. This teaches you how to live in peace all the time. Available for a gift of $35. Call our order only line, 1-800-447-2697, 1-800-447-2697. In 1977, when you had a visitation, you told me that the presence of God was so strong that you probably couldn't even get up.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, was it ever that strong before that time?
No, sir. No, I had never sensed it before that time.
I bet you were one excited young man.
Yeah, it definitely transformed your life. I mean, when you start talking about not having any more down days the rest of your life, I mean, I thought that was too good to be true. But thank God he showed me in the Word, the Bible, and it really is true.
Larry, in 2010, God spoke to you a very sobering word about what's coming on the earth. Tell me what he said.
Well, he told me that things in the world were going to get worse, that we had not seen the worst yet, but that for his children, for the children that are following after the Lord Jesus, that it would not be a time of turmoil, it'd be a time of being light. You can walk in his peace right through the dark times and right through those stressful and hurting times and have them not overwhelm you. So it was pretty sobering in one sense. And
I have to believe that the message that God taught you in 1977, where he personally taught you how to live in peace all the time, step by step, was in preparation for what believers need now at this point in history. There's going to be, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the Exodus, where there was a distinction between God's people and the Egyptians. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Right. Yeah, because, with times, the way they are in the financial arena and physical things attacking people and all this stuff, it's just overwhelming for people and their mental and emotions. And to learn to walk free from that is just...
Now, when God talked to you personally in 1977 and told you you could live like this 24/7, you told me it was hard for you to believe.
Yeah.
Tell me the first test you had that you can remember, because as you explained, since 77, you've had plenty of opportunity to have fear and worry, etc. But in the early days, you must have had what I find is when God gives us a revelation, the devil gives us a major test. Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, the Lord had taught me that all of the fears and the stress and the depression, discouragement, all those things that we have to face, that he already faced them at the cross and defeated them for us. So I remember I was at Delta Airlines one time, and some lies were told about me that it looked like it was going to make me lose my job. Management got in the wind of it, and they didn't want to give me an opportunity to defend myself. And so I had all of this. I was wanting to... You know how the old saying, I'm going to kill those people that lied about me. So bad, my anger and then depression and then fear of losing my job and all of this stuff. And the Lord reminded me. He said, remember what I taught you in John 16:33, that I've deprived it of power to harm you and defeated it, conquered it for you. And so then I just remember standing up, and he told me, he said, now speak to those feelings, speak to those negative emotions, talk to them like you would a person. And tell them I already told you in advance they were coming and that they're already defeated. And I remember, Sid, I jumped up and just started almost shouting. I mean, just started shouting, hey, you, just talking to those feelings that I was so about to be overwhelmed with, talking to them, said, listen, you don't have any power to make me depressed. You don't have any power to make me stressed or worried. I am free. Jesus already defeated you, and I'm free from you. I have the peace of God in me. And, Sid, when I said that, another supernatural thing happened. I felt like I was enveloped in a bubble. I mean, it's hard to explain it. It was like I was in this bubble of peace that God just he garrisoned me like the hedge of Job. I was like I all of a sudden had this peace that I couldn't even explain. And I just walked through the midst of that storm, and a short time later, all of the lies came out. I never even said one word to defend myself. God turned the whole situation around.
When something like that happens, when you just know inside, like you knew when you started speaking to all that turmoil that was hitting you, do you ever jump up and down and get excited because you realize what has occurred, even though you can't see it with your natural eye?
You know, I'm sure some people probably think it'd be silly if they saw me. There's been times when I've had things like that happen where I just do a little, I guess I'd call it a little jig. I just dance before the Lord. It's just like, Lord, it just thrills your soul so much. You just can't help. It's like joy unspeakable.
Okay, Larry, between you and me, just the two of us now, it's been a long time since 1977.
Yes.
You've had many opportunities, many, many, many. I mean, I could probably throw a few that have hit me in the last week. I've had many, many, many opportunities. Everyone listening to us has. Are you telling me since 1977 you can really say you've had no stress-filled days, no depression, no woe-is-me days, no strife-filled days? You're really telling me that?
I am really telling you that, but between us and in face of the Lord Jesus, that I have not had a down day, a stress-filled day, a depressed day, a discouraged day. Plenty of opportunities, like you say, but I learned how to pass them up. I learned how to not let them overtake me when they came against me.
Now, you were telling me that over the years, as you've taught this, people with physical conditions get healed. What about someone with high blood pressure. Do many people take this teaching and their blood pressure becomes normal?
Yeah, we've had quite a few testimonies of people coming up that they would tell me, Larry, I was a like major worry wart, and I just always worried, and it just caused high blood pressure. But when I found out that Jesus gave me his peace and that I didn't have to worry anymore, I got set free, and the blood pressure stabilized, and I don't have to take the medicine anymore. We heard that many, many
times. What about people, a big chronic problem in America with Christians as well as non-Christians is insomnia. I bet this has a lot to do with curing insomnia.
We have, and we've actually gotten testimonies from people that have been telling us that they used to have sleep disorders and sleep problems, and that they actually learned that they could not only live in peace during the daytime, but they could lay down in peace at night and then have their sleep be sweet. And that's been a wonderful testimony. I love hearing people say that, because you know, Sid, man, when people can't sleep, then that causes all kinds of problems in every other area of your life.
I have to believe this is such a key. I've heard medical studies that people with cancer, if they'll watch comedies and laugh,
yeah,
it releases some good things in their body, and they actually get healed. Well, I happen to believe the reverse is also true. If you're living in strife all the time, if you're living in fear and in worry and in panic, and you're like a roller coaster, you're going up and down, it's got to release things in the body that cause you to be sick.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I've even talked to doctor friends that have told me that, you know, when they go to medical school, they're trained to diagnose these different illnesses. And when people come in and they can't diagnose them, they realize, man, this is caused by stress. It's caused by depression. It's caused by anger, just all of these things that our bodies were not created to handle. And so it just causes all kinds of mess.
Now, before this happened to you, before 77, and the Lord personally came to you, you felt his presence in such a tangible fashion, and he showed you step by step how you can live the rest of your life with no down days. Tell me some of the more severe emotional problems that you were dealing with before that happened.
You know, I didn't think that I was an emotionally unstable person, and I remember the Lord spoke to me about that and showed me, Larry, if you can't control your temper, then you're emotionally unstable. Man, that was like a low blow. It's like I thought, whoa, I'm not emotionally unstable. I'm an athlete. I got my act together. But when I let temper and anger control me, and then when things would happen, depression and discouragement, those things would overwhelm me and just rule your life, you know, just it causes you to make wrong decisions and treat people wrong and be mean to people and ugly. And it was things like that that I needed to...
Larry, we're out of time. Now, you were teaching on Isaiah 53 that gives a lot of keys to the understanding of how you can walk in supernatural peace 24/7 forever. Tell me a little bit about what God showed you.
Well, in Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5, it talks about our redemption when Jesus went to the cross. It said he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. And the next verse says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So the Lord taught me that when he went to the cross, that he bore grief, sorrow, stress, depression, strife, hurt feelings, bad temper, all of these negative emotions that control us, and he bore them so that I didn't have to. And not only did he bear them, but then he bore the cause that there's nothing that can cause me to be depressed, nothing that can cause me that I have to make a choice. He showed me when in that next verse when he said the chastisement of my peace was upon him. The word chastisement is the rebuke or the restraint of my peace. So there's absolutely nothing that can rebuke or take away my peace or stop it from operating if I learn to use it. And I found out that Jesus gave me his peace when I received him. And that was such a life-changing thing. In fact, Sid, can I share something real quick with you about one thing he taught me? It's like he told me that his peace was a fruit. It's called the fruit. one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit that he brings in when he moves into a new believer. And that peace, he said, that peace is called a fruit, and he said, it's not seasonal fruit. And that just exploded in me. It was like, whoa, because I was raised in Florida working in the orange groves picking fruit, and I knew that you could only do that during certain seasons. But when he told me his peace was not seasonal, that's when I got that revelation, what you've been saying over and over, 24-7, 365. I realized I can live in this peace 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and that was just awesome.
Okay, you can live in that peace. I understand that. I understand this teaching. But what happens when you get symptoms of cancer? What happens if all of a sudden you wake up one day and you find a tumor growing in your body? That happened to you. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I actually had a tumor grow inside my back and then start coming out my back.
Oh, that sounds awful.
It was. It was very excruciating pain that came up. And yet, because the Lord had told me, he said, when you get attacked in these areas and all those thoughts come of fear and panic and depression and worry and all those things, he said, take my peace and speak it. Speak my peace. And just kind of like Jesus did when he was going across the ocean that time in the boat and the storm arose and, you know, he was sleeping on the back bar of the ship with his head on a pillow. The disciples woke him up and he stood up and said, peace. He spoke peace. And I remember just speaking peace. I just dwelt on Jesus. You gave me your peace. Ephesians chapter 2 says, Jesus is my peace. Well, he never leaves me nor forsakes me. So therefore, I have him. I have his peace. And I remember when I just spoke that peace and believed that once again, that peace just overwhelmed me. And it was just, it was like a guard over my mind, which was so cool because then it was like I wasn't trying to not worry. I was in his rest, and it was like he was just taking it from me. It was so cool. It's almost hard to explain, you know. But it was so fun to be able to just stay in that peace, even when that tumor had gotten painful and bigger. And then whenever, of course, we believed for healing, and then that tumor ended up bursting. And then my wife and I, then you all of a sudden have these thoughts of gangrene and stuff because it looked terrible after it burst. But I just knew that it was dead at the roots, that I was the healed, and that I had the peace of God, and I wasn't going to worry or get in fear about it at all. And that's exactly what happened. I can honestly say before God, I did not get afraid. I stayed in peace the whole time.
Now, this supernatural peace, it works two ways. Number one, it keeps you in a tremendous, it keeps your body in working the way God wanted it to work and not working the way the devil wanted to work. But I happen to believe it works in another way. I think when you walk into a room and you've been walking 24/7 in supernatural peace, I happen to believe the atmosphere must change in that room. You know, you tell me.
I mean, how many times when you bring that peace into a situation, people, I mean, they can't even put words to it until maybe later on they said, man, when you came in, and when somebody else maybe that had the same revelation walked into the room, it was like, wow, you know, it was just, okay, everything's going to be all right. You know, it just brings that rest, that peace into situations. And along that same line, Sid, is when people learn to live this way, it brings it into their marriage. It brings it into their other relationships. So it makes me and you and those of us that learn to walk in peace, it makes us more enjoyable to be around, you know?
Well, let me give you a real life illustration. And assuming this was you, how would you handle it? I have a friend that's an evangelist, and one day his wife walked up after 20 years of marriage and three children and says, I'm sick of this life. I don't love you. I'm leaving. She not only left him, she not only left the children, but she left the Lord, and she went into a life of sin. And he did everything he knew. He believed she would come back. He prayed in the spirit for hours at a time. He did everything. He confessed God's word, and every time he'd reach out to her, she would not physically, but literally slap him in the face and says, "Get on with your life." No, he didn't want to grant her a divorce because he's believing for the restoration. How can he walk in supernatural peace? If that were you, how could you walk in supernatural peace?
Yeah, that's when it seems like, you know, you can't lean to your own understanding. Because I've had friends that exact same situation, Sid, happened to them as well. And that's when, you know, it comes down to trust in the Lord with all your heart, not lean to your own understanding. You have to really have confidence that God is going to take care of me. Because one of the things he spoke to me about walking in supernatural peace is he said, nobody can make you feel any way. It's a choice that you make. And so no matter what, even if my wife does that and walks away, I mean, as hard as it may sound, I still have Jesus on the inside. I still have his peace on the inside. And I can actually use that to overcome the feelings of depression and discouragement that try and overwhelm.
Now, what about, let's take a particular case where that occurred in, you know, people have free will and the wife never comes back and they get that divorce.
Right.
There's a lot of hurt. There is a natural process called a grieving process. Right. How does that fit in with this supernatural peace?
Well, I watched one of my friends go through that, and he realized, you know, when God said he bore my grief, that means, okay, so I'm going to have this natural thoughts, this, you know, it, just like God grieves when something doesn't go good, I'm going to grieve that this didn't go the way God wanted it. But God has a bigger plan and a bigger purpose. And I remember watching my friend that had the exact same situation happen to him. The wife left. She went out and lived a world of sin. And all of a sudden, because he decided, you know what, God, you are my source and you're my life and you're my peace, then that peace guarded him and put him in a position where God brought another lady into his life that was so wonderful. And they ended up being married. They're in the ministry today doing more than he ever did for God. And so ecstatic and so happy and such peace in their marriage. He just never thought it could be this good. So, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel for people that face those things. And that's why we have this peace that can change the situation.
I just got back from a trip in New York, and talk about a testing ground in Manhattan. And I was listening to your material, but I hadn't mastered it yet. So I repent publicly. But I am convinced that I can live that way.
Yes.
And you are living that way. And so many others are. I'm convinced that you can live that way, and that is that you have no more down days. You're not involved in strife, in hurt, in depression, in anger. And now, that doesn't mean you won't get angry, but that means you're not going to lash out at people and stay that way all the time. I mean, what a way to live. Can you imagine how much more you'll accomplish for the Lord? We're making his book, Internal Affairs, Emotional Stability in an Unstable World, and 4-CD set, How to Live in Peace All the Time. I feel the pleasure of God on this teaching. It's available for a gift of $35. Call our order only line, 1-800-447-2697. 1-800-447-2697. Larry, these keys that you point out, I can feel the pleasure of God on making these keys available to everyone that's listening to us. We're going to go to a very important key in a moment. But tell me, you know, we're in an imperfect world with imperfect people, and we have a devil running around like a madman, which he is. And one day, somehow, your head started swelling. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. I got on the whole right side of my head. It started swelling, and pain started coming with it. Then a little tumor started growing behind my ear, and I was being attacked in my body. I've been attacked in different areas through the years, and I know that Jesus already bore my sickness for me, that I don't have to have sickness and disease in my body. And so when it came, I started speaking the word of God and standing against, like the Bible says, use that shield of faith to stop every fiery dart that comes against you from the devil. And so I just started speaking the healing scriptures and the peace of God. And let me tell you, when you have your head swelling, and I mean, it got...
No, it's very easy to do that when nothing's going on.
Oh, yeah.
But when the rubber hits the road is when something like that happens to you. You don't feel like praying or doing anything.
Yeah. But the one thing that I continually did is had headphones on and listening to scriptures, listening to the Word of God on a daily basis so that I would stay strong in the Lord, not strong in myself, but strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And so I had all of these attacks against my mind. I mean, when your head's swelling and the pain got so hard that you could hardly touch it with a brush, and it was like, okay, here's all these thoughts coming, fear trying to come, you're going to die, it's a brain tumor, it's cancerous, because I've had people in my family die in past years of cancer. So now it's your turn, you're getting these thoughts, and just bombarding your mind, trying to get you in fear and depressed and discouraged. And I remember just taking the word of God, such as John 14, that Jesus gave me his peace, and it's not as the world gives. He gave it to me, and now because I have his peace, I don't have to allow my feelings to be troubled. I don't even have to allow them to be afraid, John 14, 27. So I just took that. I said, Lord, I have your peace. I will not allow myself to be troubled. Jesus, you are my peace. You've given me your peace, and that just kept me free from fear, right in the midst of probably the hardest battle that I'd ever gone through, when it looked like, man, this is serious business, you could die from this. I was able to just stay free from fear and stay in peace and stay in rest. And then, of course, because I did, God took it all away and I was completely healed.
Now, I used to look many, many years ago at a man that was one of your teachers, Dr. Kenneth Hagin. And he used to have all these miracles and all these wonderful testimonies, like I've just heard you say. And this was years ago, not today. And I used to say to myself, this guy has got a gift. And he's just teaching on a gift, and you can't teach a gift. He has a gift. Not everyone can do this. So I have to ask you that. And by the way, that wasn't true, but that's what I thought when I first heard his teaching. So what about the person that says, well, God is, look, he personally visited you in 1977. You felt his presence. You're walking in this supernatural peace. What would you say to this person?
Well, I found out the Bible says that God's no respecter of persons, that what he's done for one, he's done for all. He's a just God, and that whosoever would believe could receive. And so I found out, because back then when I had that experience, I was working at Delta Airlines. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm just a person like everybody else, going to work every day and going to church and then starting to hear the good news that Jesus is a miracle worker and he's a peacemaker, and he's a savior and financier. He's just good in all these different areas. And so I just encourage people. I say, listen, this is available to whosoever will let him come. This isn't just for me. This isn't for Sid or like you talked about, Kenneth Hagin, these different people. This is for every member of the body of Christ, every child of God. And it's definitely great. It's wonderful. Wonderful news. Praise.
Well, let's release one of the so many keys, because Jesus taught you step by step how you can walk in 24/7 peace no matter what's going on around you. And you're not talking, Larry, about being an ostrich. You're talking about when you're walking this peace, you're walking in God. When you're walking in God, God turns everything around for good.
Right. Yeah, somebody said to me one time they didn't understand when they found out that I called myself a believer and a faith person, that I was referring to what the Apostle Paul said. He said, the word is near you, even in your mouth and your heart. That's the word of faith. That's what I meant when I said I'm a word of faith, is I believe getting God's word in my heart and speaking it out of my mouth. And so God taught me that if I would speak his word, word over my emotions whenever things would try and arise, that his grace then would empower me to overcome. So I had to learn. It's kind of like back there in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 30, when David encouraged himself. Of course, you know that story. I mean, all of his people that are closest to him turned against him. Can you imagine, like, your family and your friends and everybody turns against you, and there's nobody to encourage you except yourself? And that's what happened, and that's what I found myself doing, is looking to God, encouraging myself. I think in Psalm 103, when David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name," I don't think he was singing a pretty little song. I think he was encouraging himself in the Lord, because he went on, he said, "The Lord forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases and redeems my life from destruction." And he just kept going on and encouraging himself. And so that's what I have learned to do through the years.
Okay, let's put you in that situation.
Okay.
Everyone has turned against you. Demonstrate to me what you would be doing at this moment if everyone had turned against you. All your most loved possessions, your family, your boss, your teachers, everyone, your neighbors, your friends. You're going through a real Job experience. What would you be doing as far as this key of encouraging yourself like David?
Yes, I would be taking the word, and just because I continually listen to it on a daily.
No, I want you to do it right now.
Do it, right. Yeah, so I would take the word, and I would just start going like this. Lord God, I thank you so much that you live in me. You are greater than everything in the world that I'm ever going to face, including what I'm facing right now. Your word says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And Lord, you said in Psalm 118 that you are on my side. Lord, if you are for me, who can be against me? I mean, it looks like all hell's broken loose, but Lord, I'm letting all heaven break loose. Thank you, Lord, that you live big in me and that you strengthen me and you quicken me and you're my comforter. You're my helper, Lord. You strengthen me. Lord, I thank you. I have your wisdom. I have your peace. I have your joy that's unspeakable, full of glory. And I refuse to allow people or things or circumstances to stop me from walking with you and living in your peace and your joy and your rest. Lord, I believe, and you said, we which believe enter into rest. I'm entering into your rest right now, Lord, and I'm staying there. Thank you for helping me, Lord. I praise you, and I thank you for helping me.
Well, I don't know about anyone else, but I'm sure feeling the peace of God on that. But I don't have everything closing in on me like the description. So you're telling me if someone were to really believe and say that out loud, it would do what it's just done right now? It's changed the atmosphere.
Yes.
It is changing the atmosphere in this studio by you just saying that. So I'm sure it's changing the atmosphere where you are right now.
Yes.
And what's going to happen beyond the atmosphere? Is it going to change the fact that all these people are saying these lies and you're misunderstood? And is that going to change?
You know, God can just flat turn the whole situations around where they're just not affecting us anymore. And then all of a sudden we start finding favor with those people. And then all of a sudden, I mean, just like in David's life, those men that were against him, all of a sudden they see, okay, this is going to be okay. And the whole situation turns around just because I believe we get ourselves out of the way so that God can work in our lives.
And now you do some teaching on the difference between faith and fear. Give us a little bit.
Well, if you remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood, I mean, incurable disease, you know, she's living in the dungeons and caves of the earth apart from her family, got a disease that has been declared unclean, and so she can't be around people, and she touches Jesus. Jesus didn't pray for her. Jesus didn't lay hands on her. She used her faith and reached out and took hold of the power of God. And Jesus got done talking with her, and if you remember the story, he's on his way to Jairus's house, whose daughter was dying, and people came right at the time he's done talking to the woman with the issue of blood, and the people tell Jairus, your daughter's dead. Don't need Jesus anymore. Just forget him. And Jesus immediately turned to Jairus and said, don't be afraid, only believe. And he was letting Jairus know that fear and faith are opposites. They can't work together. They can't coincide. If you're in faith, you're not going to be in fear. If you're in fear, then...
Oh, we're out of time. There are things that are stopping you. There's things that are stopping you from receiving the healing of God. There are things that are stopping you from receiving the peace of God. There's people listening to me. Your blood pressure is elevated. You have diabetes. You can't sleep at night. You're fearful that you're going to be penniless and be homeless shortly. Your family is falling apart. What if you could pass up every problem, not as an ostrich, but because you're walking in such supernatural peace, and do that consistently and walk 24/7 in the peace of God? Could you see what a difference that would make in your life? My guest, Larry Hutton, was taught step by step by the Lord himself on how to do this. And since 1977, he's been able to walk that way. Now, Larry,
yes, Ed.
Tell me about why you say worry is perverted imagination.
Well, the Lord showed me that when we worry, we're taking an imagination that was given by him. For example, when you're a kid, you imagine. What do you imagine when you're a kid? Most kids, where their imagination is still right, they're imagining that they can fly. They're imagining that they can just breathe underwater. They're imagining these.
Oh, they're Peter Pan.
Oh,
they're flying.
their imagination is just always positive and thinking great and wonderful things. And then worry, all it is you're imagining something bad. You're imagining something. And the thing about worry is worry always dwells with the unknown. And when we talk worry, we're talking stress, too, because stress and worry are all forms of fear. And so when you're worried about something, you're worried about the unknown. Well, my child hadn't gotten home yet. Maybe they got in an accident. Worry, worry, worry. You know what? The end of the month, we may not have enough money. It's always dwelling on the unknown.
This symptom I see in my body might be cancer.
There you go. Yeah, you're worried about something that you don't know, and so your imagination has been perverted. You are now dwelling on something. You're dwelling on the wrong thing instead of the right thing. God's word is truth. That's what we're supposed to be dwelling on.
So when you dwell on the right thing, God makes it happen. When you dwell on the wrong thing, could you say the devil makes it happen?
That's a good thing, because you've definitely got him behind the works of darkness. So that's absolutely a good statement, Sid.
Let me ask you something that you bring up that not many people think about, and that is worry, stress, fear. It's really rooted in pride. It's really rooted on putting yourself on the throne, not trusting God. Explain.
Well, the Lord told me, he said, Larry, when you allow worry to come into your life, or you allow depression or any of those negative emotions, he said, what you're doing is, in essence, you're taking me off the throne of your life, and you're putting yourself up there, and you're trying to handle it yourself. That is pride. And, of course, he took me over to Peter, which says, humble yourself by casting your care. So I found out, you know what, if I allow that to stay, then I'm just telling the Lord, Lord, I'll handle this one without you. I'll go ahead and worry about it. I'll go ahead and get depressed about it. Even though you're not actually saying that, that is, in essence, what you're doing when you don't allow the Lord to just take care of that and not be stressed and not be worried about it. But you can't do it on your own. We talked about that earlier in the week, and you have to use this supernatural peace that he put on the inside of you. That is the grace that empowers you and empowers me to actually overcome.
Speaking of the pride, and I do say pride with quotes, of worry, tell me about this pastor's daughter that was a generational chronic worrier.
she was raised in a denomination. She was taught that, you know, there's going to be people in the family that are worriers, and you just happen to be one, so just accept your lot in life. And she said she was that way for, I can't remember, I'd have to pull the testimony up, but it seemed like it was 24 or 34 years, and I'm thinking, wow, that's a long time. She just worried, and she'd worry herself sick and just depressed and all this stuff. And even her family members were telling, well, it's just because you have a gift and God's made you concerned about people. And she finally got a hold of my teaching and learned that God gave her his peace and that she didn't have to be this way. And it changed her life. She was so ecstatic. She was so thrilled that she said, I do not have to be this way anymore. And from now on, my generation, my children and my children's children, they're not going to have to be that way because they're going to learn the truth of God's word.
Do many people that get a hold of your teaching that suffer from sleep deprivation or insomnia have changes?
Yeah, that's real good. So I'm glad you brought that up because we've had a number of instances. Even while I'm preaching on the subject, all of a sudden the Lord will begin ministering to me. In fact, I feel like there's some that's listening right now that you've had sleep disorders. In fact, I can see one, you've been on different types of medication. The doctors have been trying different types of medication. And God says that you can actually lay down in peace. In Psalm 4:8, you can lay down in peace. You don't have to eat the bread of sorrows. You don't have to stay awake and have all kinds of things bothering your emotions. You can actually lay down in peace, and your sleep can be sweet, according to Proverbs 3:24. And so I just release that to you right now as you're listening, that the peace of God that passes your understanding will garrison your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. But yes, Sid, we've had many people that have gotten a hold of this and realized, wow, I don't have to be kept awake at night because of worry or stress or anger or something, or I don't have to wake up early in the morning and not be able to go back to sleep because of these negative emotions, that I can use God's peace and I can sleep like a log, not like a baby, like a log.
What actually happens to someone when they worry all the time?
You know, worry opens up the door for all kinds of problems in the physical body. It opens up the door for problems in their finances, in their marriage. It opens up so many different doors because worry, when you stop and think about it, worry is sin. I mean, God said in Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. Well, I can't worry in faith. I can't worry. I mean, I can't use my faith to worry. So if I'm worried, then that means I'm not truly believing that God's going to take care of it. And that positions me then in a place where I'm not hearing from God. I open up the door for these symptoms, sicknesses, and diseases to come in. It's just not a place where God wants me. He wants me worry-free. And like you've said, and let me just reiterate for those that are listening, Sid's telling you the truth. I have not had a down day, a depressed day, a stress-filled day, a strife-filled day since 1977. I've had moments, because all of us face the moments, but it's what you do in that moment of whether it becomes longer than a moment, and you can use God's peace to keep it nice, short and sweet and light.
Now, you teach on a Greek word that means cares. Tell me briefly, because I thought that was revolutionary.
Well, the Lord showed me that the Greek word that we're supposed to cast our cares comes from a root word that means divided. In fact, it's used when it says, when Jesus said, a house that's divided against itself cannot stand. Well, whenever we allow worries to come in, and depression and stress and fears, and it divides. It divides us from God. It divides us from people. Of course, we know division is not good. We're supposed to be whole and unity and harmony with God. And so I saw that it was just a trick of the enemy and a work of the devil to try and get us all messed up and divided. It's a picture of even division in yourself, that you're you know, you're just messed up. You're thinking one way one moment, thinking another way another moment, instead of being at this peace that God wants us to operate in.
This division, when I was reading this, says the Greek word actually means to cut into pieces.
In pieces, I know. Isn't that amazing? It's like...
So, and no wonder people are not above and they're beneath if they're all cut in pieces.
And how many times do you and I hear people said, oh, I'm just torn apart and I just feel like I'm cut in pieces, and they don't even realize they're actually saying the very thing that the words meant in the Greek language, is because they're all torn up on the inside and they're all messed up because they've allowed that depression and that fear and stress to remain. And yet they don't have to, Sid. We don't have to have it in our lives.
I'm feeling such a peace of God. I happen to believe that Larry Hutton's book called Internal Affairs, Emotional Stability in an Unstable World, and his 4-CD set, which will literally show you how to live in peace all the time in a world that's the opposite of peace. I mean, no worry, no fear. No problems with your temper and your emotions and stress and strife and on and on. Could you imagine living 24/7 in that kind of peace? I can imagine that. I can imagine that that's going to be the thing that's going to divide this world between the true believers and the phony believers.
Yeah.
I want to make this available to you for a gift of $35. This is the Shabbat broadcast. I want to pray over you. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will cause his countenance to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will grant you his shalom, his completeness in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. In the name of the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu, Jesus the Messiah, our righteousness.
Yivarechecha Adonai ve'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chonecha.
To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 315-21, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.